Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. Jim, we start with the good, of course, and we start in the pages of National Review with your colleague David French making his decision official on Sunday night with a piece he wrote. He writes, "I am not the right person to challenge Trump and Hillary, but the path remains open for others. Here is a sentence I never thought I'd type. After days of prayer, reflection, and serious study of the possibilities, I am not going to run as an independent candidate for president of the United States. I gave it serious thought as a pretty darn obscure lawyer, writer, and veteran, only because we live in historic times. Never before have both parties failed so spectacularly, producing two dishonest, deceitful candidates who should be disqualified from running for town council, much less leader of the free world." He says, "Ultimately, given the timing, the best chance for success goes to a person who is either extraordinarily wealthy or has immediate access to extraordinary wealth or is a transformational political talent. I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve my country, and I thank God for the successes I've had as a lawyer and a writer, but it's plain to me that I'm not the right person for this effort." He goes on to say that he still thinks the door is open for someone to fill this void, but it's not going to be him. And Jim, obviously, there's great respect across the conservative spectrum for David French, but given the bludgeoning he got by even the rumor that he might be considering this and the huge hill he'd have to climb, I'm happy for David French, not necessarily happy for America right now.
Yeah, I think relieved is probably the best way to characterize my response to this news. We did trade a few emails during this time period as he was considering it. I don't think I was the straw that broke the camel's back or had a decisive vote in this. But let's be straight with it. He's not, you know, anybody who decides now, I'm going to run. Well, you're not going to be on the ballot in Texas. The deadline has already passed. That was May 9th. You're going to have to be a write-in candidate there. And while, yes, Lisa Murkowski managed to win a write-in bid in Alaska a couple of years back, you're generally not going to be very successful with a write-in bid. June 9th is the deadline for North Carolina. Probably not going to be on the ballot there. June 27th, Illinois, New Mexico and Indiana, June 30th. You know, there's five states right there that unless you have a ton of folks ready to run around and collect signatures and get to turn them in to state authorities amazingly quick, it's not going to happen. Bunch of states have all pretty big requirements, even if they're later. You know, you need 119,000 people in Florida. Not exactly easy to just throw them together. 30,000 in Michigan, 178,000 for California. Look, if you wanted to be an independent candidate to run for president of the United States, you really needed to start in about February or so. Wrote about this back then, and entirely separate from how highly I think of David French, I think this was going to be a big hurdle. Now, you could get on the ballot in about 37 states if you collected 10,000 in each state, which is not bad, but your path to getting 270 electoral votes is greatly reduced by that. And then you're kind of hoping to throw it to the House of Representatives, and it gets a little more complicated and things like that. And a lot of folks didn't want to see David French turn into the Ralph Nader of the 2016 election. And considering how the hurdles before him, there's a good chance he'd fall short of the Nader standard. This was not a achievable goal, and I think David has made the right call here. Also, again, if Donald Trump wins, well, we know how America will be doing. The good news is we'll have defeated Hillary Clinton. If he loses, those of us who are skeptical should not want him to have ready-made excuse of, I would have won if it hadn't been for that David French character. Or, you know, maybe he'll end up citing Gary Johnson in this category. But ultimately, what could have been another ugly chapter of a already ugly campaign season has been averted. I think it's the right call for David. I think it's the right call for conservatives. And we will see how things shake out from here. But the focus should not be on this, you know, relatively little-known National Review writer. The focus should be on the choices before us and what America wants to do with it.
Jim, I understand the last point you just made, but can we assume now that you are not going to make the independent bid for president?
My dreams of being Secretary of the Interior have gone up in flames.
Oh, man. Well, maybe next time. On to the bad martini now. And tomorrow is really the final primary day. The District of Columbia votes with the Democratic primary on a week from Tuesday. But the last states vote on Tuesday. And a lot of attention is on California because that's the biggest delegate prize on the Democratic side. At this point, Hillary Clinton is going to get over the top, especially when you add on the superdelegates. But Bernie Sanders is still pushing hard. But Jim, it's been very interesting what he won't talk about in this campaign, especially given how he's nonstop talking about cronyism and big money, but he wouldn't touch the Clinton Foundation. So finally, over the weekend, Jake Tapper of CNN asked him about it and said, "Are you bothered by the fact that the Clinton Foundation is getting all these donations when it obviously has close ties with a woman who for 4 years was Secretary of State?" Here's what he said.
"Do I have a problem when a sitting Secretary of State and a foundation run by her husband collects many millions of dollars from foreign governments, governments which are dictatorships? You don't have a lot of civil liberties or democratic rights in Saudi Arabia. You don't have a lot of respect there for opposition points of view, for gay rights, for women's rights. Do I have a problem with that? Yeah, I do."
You think it creates an appearance of conflict of interest?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do. Jim, it's been very interesting how at the very first debate he didn't want to talk about the emails, and now he could have had this golden opportunity to slam Hillary over the Clinton Foundation for months and months, but he has almost no interest in doing it.
Greg, this would be a good time for us to play the audio from Die Hard. "Welcome to the party, pal." Oh, now it's crossed his mind that maybe this is an issue to ring up right before the final primaries. This didn't just get discovered yesterday. This didn't suddenly become an issue. Some people have talked about this for years, since the beginning of the 2015 cycle. And if Bernie Sanders had mentioned that on the very first time he was on that debate stage, this might have been a very different Democratic primary. Now, you can point to the fact that he's done quite well so far this year, but just kind of mind-boggling that he does this now. It's kind of like when Ted Cruz said, right, that the closing moments of the Republican primary says, "I'm going to tell you what I really think about Donald Trump. I think he's a pathological liar." Well, if that's what you really think, well, that means everything you've been saying before has been not what you really think. And if this is, you know, if Bernie Sanders thinks that Hillary Clinton is the Clinton Foundation was a way of handling, you know, basically backdoor bribes and backdoor favor factory, maybe you should have mentioned this earlier, Senator Sanders. We will see how it shakes out. There's talk that he's going to fight all the way to the convention, that Tuesday will not be the end of the primary. He sometimes seems like he just kind of slowly wakes up to facts that most of us who are on the outside have noticed for quite some time now.
On to the crazy martini now. And Jim, I don't know if we should have music from Love Story here or some other romantic comedy, but there had been a fiercely and quickly escalating bromance between presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. Sean Hannity basically day after day is frothing at the mouth for Newt to be the running mate on the Republican ticket. But after this weekend, that seems less likely. Newt was a guest on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. This clip starts with Donald Trump talking with Jake Tapper on CNN about Trump's spat with the judge on the Trump University case. And then Wallace asked Newt to react to that.
"We're building a wall. He's a Mexican. We're building a wall between here and Mexico. The answer is he is giving us very unfair rulings, rulings that people can't even believe."
"Are you comfortable with a potential president attacking a federal judge for his heritage?"
"No. This is one of the worst mistakes Trump has made. And I think it's inexcusable. He has every right to criticize a judge, and he has every right to say certain decisions aren't right, and his attorneys can file to move the venue from the judge. But first of all, this judge was born in Indiana. He is an American, period."
And then he said that Trump has got to up his game now that he's going to be the nominee.
"If a liberal were to attack Justice Clarence Thomas on the grounds that he's black, we would all go crazy. Every conservative would say it was wrong, and it was racism. And Trump has got to, I think, move to a new level. This is no longer the primaries. He's no longer an interesting contender. He is now the potential leader of the United States, and he's got to move his game up to the level of being a potential leader."
After months of carrying the water for Trump, Newt gives him a little bit of a slap on the wrist there, and this was Trump's reaction today on Fox and Friends.
"All I'm trying to do is figure out why I'm being treated so unfairly by a judge. And a lot of people agree with it. As far as Newt is concerned, I saw Newt. I was surprised at Newt. I thought it was inappropriate what he said."
Oh, he failed to kiss the ring on Sunday. Jim, what happens now?
I seem to remember not that long ago, but I want to say probably a couple of months ago, when all of a sudden you saw Ann Coulter saying our candidate is mental. There was the Trump super PAC employee who came out and made this video and said Trump is only out for himself. And Greg, you may remember Newt Gingrich saying that the tweet about Heidi Cruz was stupid. Fundamentally, profoundly, frankly stupid. And he's got to get control of himself and all that stuff. This was like a week after Newt Gingrich had done this interview with Slate magazine, and he had said, no, I'm not worried about Trump at all. I think I have absolute faith in him. I'm total confidence in him. Well, Newt, I think you were frankly, fundamentally, profoundly wrong. And here he goes again. Trump has no impulse control. And it's not just enough. You know, like the first part of me saying I'm being treated unfairly. Okay, fine. That's always in the eye of the beholder. It's subjective. If you want to point to specific things the judge has said, if you want to point to specific things the judge has done that make you believe that he is not impartial, that he is biased, that his finger is on the scale on one side of this case, you can go ahead and make that case. But saying, first of all, he's Mexican, let's dispense that. He's an American citizen. He was born in Indiana. All right. You are not Greek, Greg Columbus, as far as I know. I am not Irish, right? Our heritage comes from there, but that does not make us citizens of that. And by saying, hey, he's Mexican, he's a Mexican judge. No, Donald Trump very clearly is trying to create the impression that Gonzalo Curiel isn't really American. I mean, sure, technically he's American, but he's not really American the way you and I are. This is pretty abominable for somebody like me who's never Trump. I never have to defend this crap. I never have to say, well, look, I really want to defeat Hillary, so I have to buy onto this notion that only certain ethnic heritages are genuinely American, and other ones are a little sketchy. We're not quite convinced that they're genuinely American. You know, Gonzalo Curiel is an American, which, oh, by the way, as a judge, he was like targeted by the Mexican drug cartels for making decisions against them, right? So we didn't know how he was handling this this Trump case, but I think his qualifications as an American are pretty darn sterling here. But Trump doesn't care about any of this stuff because he just wants to create enough noise, create enough confusion, put out enough chaff that people say, oh, if there's any further decisions against him, people can say, oh, well, what do you expect? You know, it's a Mexican judge. This is ugly. This is embarrassing for the Republican Party. I think everybody who endorsed Trump is hiding from the cameras. And I think that, look, you know, if this is going to be 6 more months of this, he's going to drag every Republican down with him with his insistence that if you don't agree with him, that is his determining factor of whether or not you're American. And it's nonsense on stilts. And I'd like to see more Republicans turn against this. But it sounds like they're always going to hide from the cameras for the next 6 months. And we'll see how that works out for them.
His opinion of you depends exactly on the last thing you've said. If you said something that just disagreed with him, you're the worst person who's ever lived. But if 10 minutes later you agree with him on something else, well, everything's fine. Like he said a couple days ago, he's not lying, Ted, anymore. We love Ted.
Yeah, we probably saw the photos of former Defense Secretary Gates in a neck brace. It came during one of those position shifts that he was not braced for it. He wasn't ready, and he accidentally got whiplash. So best to him on that.
Jim, fun start to the week. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Columbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.